Okay, good morning everybody. Here we are in Parshas Balak, where we have the brachos which Bilam gives to Am Yisrael. One of the things Bilam says over there, Hein Am Kalavi Yakum, Am Yisrael are compared to a lion who rises up. The Kari is Nato, raises himself up like a lion. Lo Yishkav Ad Yotal Tere V'dam Chalolim Yishke. When they lie down, they first consume all their enemies. They finish them up. Says Rashi, what does that mean? Says Rashi, this whole pasuk is a mashal to Kiyum Mitzvos. We're not talking about physical power, we're talking about a spiritual power. So they rise up like a lion, says Rashi. What does it mean they rise up like a lion? When they stand up in the morning, says Rashi, we straight away get busy with mitzvahs, nontalis, shema, tefillin, that's in the morning. And the evening, lo yishkav, the end part of the pasuk, they don't lie down, says Rashi, but laila al mitosoi, we don't lie down in the evening to go to sleep, achu oichel umechabil kol mavik habolas horpoi, until we put some effort into consuming all the mazikim. How do we do that? Ketzav kiris shema al mitosoi. We do this by reading Shema, Umakid Ruchay Biyat HaMokay, depositing our Ruach HaNefesh with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Bo Machen Evagayis Ba'adikom. Different powers come to try to destroy, to cause damage. A Kodesh Baruch Hu Shoyram V'Nilcham L'Chaloistam V'Nachal Chaloim, a Kodesh Baruch Hu watches over us. So, we have the rumors of this Pasuk, the obligation of reading Kriyat Shema al Hamito. It's not a deraisa obligation, but it is hinted at in these psukim. So in addition to the regular Kriyat Shema, which we have twice a day, Shacharis and Arvis, we have this other hue of also reading Kriyat Shema at bedtime as we go to sleep. So since this is something which we do, you know, regularly, hopefully every day, it's worthwhile to look it over a little bit. We'll look a little bit at some of the background, some of the halachot of Kriyat Shema al Hamito. Now we know Kriyat Shema is basically made up of three parts. Right? There's the reading of the Shema itself, Shema until Vishar Echa. Most people read just the first paragraph, some of the midrash to read all three paragraphs. Then there's a series of psukim which relate to sort of Shmira. We ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu for Shmira at night, and there's a bracha. There's a bracha hamakom. And first, let's just mention there's different in Hokin how these three parts of the Shema should be arranged. Basically, whichever order you follow, you've got something to go with, because however you arrange these three parts, there's always a shitter which holds like that. But basically, the two primary ways that are mainly followed is Haizat Seh Hamakal right at the beginning, the Brosh Hamakal right at the beginning, followed by Shema and the Pesukim. Or the opposite way around, to say Shema and Matzukim and Hamakal right at the end. There's also a third minhag which says that you do Shema and Hamakal and then you follow it with the Matzukim. Okay, now what I want to focus on a little more is this idea which you might have heard of, that after saying Hamakal, one should not speak. Let's look a little bit into this topic. Where does it come from? What's it based on, and how common is it? So, one of the early Makoris mentioned this idea is a sefer called the Seder Hayom. Seder Hayom is quite an early sefer, it's one of the Rishonim, and he says as follows: But here he, Shabrocha Azois, in the Borcha, the whole Shah Sharot Zalishka. And says the Seder Hayom, when exactly should you make this Brocha of Hamaka? The sort of Brocha, loosely let's say, on sleep. You shouldn't make it as whenever you're thinking of lying down. This is a bit tricky. He says, when should you make it? You should make it when you see that you're about to fall asleep. Try doing that. And his eyelids are about to get caught up in sleep. He says, no, you shouldn't make it earlier. If you're putting your pajamas on and getting into bed, that's not the time to hamakal. And he says, why? How can you make this brocha hamakal sheno? And you haven't yet come to go to sleep. All you are doing is simply preparing yourself for going to sleep. Vadai bracha levatoli. Very, very sharp lashon, and he says to do such a thing is a bracha levatola. A levisha or easy harbe bnei adam toyim b'zeh b'zeh ha'yedo. Ubechal eisus man shemavashin vishkol mitzayim. They go ahead and they say amakul. So if I'm writing it and I'm telling you that no, that's not the right time. The right time is literally just before you're going to sleep. Now, first of all, let's leave aside the sort of practical difficulty with actually doing it. It's very hard to be Mishayev. But let's just touch for a second what's the essence of his understanding. So how's he understanding? He's obviously understanding that the bracha, Halachos Sheino, is like a sort of, might even call it like a type of Birkas Hanei, like a type of bracha that you make over, you know, any pleasurable activity. You have a cup of water, you make shahakra. Obviously you don't make shahakra when you're thinking of having the water, when you're getting up from your place and going to the water machine and getting a cup. You make it just before having the water. And in fact, you can't make any happen in between. So he sounds like he's looking at Hamakil as being the same sort of category of bracha, a sort of Birkas Hanei, which has to be made directly before the event or the halal that takes place without any hefzik in between. So he says, how can you make hamafil when you're just putting your pajamas on and lying down in your bed? You have to make hamafil just before the sleep, like you make shahakul just before having a cup of water. That seems to be his way of looking at it.
It's not surprising that you see
that happening in the other. Yeah. I mean, the story, were we to actually follow this on a practical level, the end result would be that nobody would say halal. Yeah, that would be the issue. Yeah, so. But nevertheless, one could take like a sort of, let's say, slightly watered down approach of what he's saying, and say, okay, even if we're not going to tell you to say it just before you go to sleep, because that's basically impossible, but at very least, we could say, take extreme care not to make any hefzik in between the bracha and the sleep. So at least how long it will be, nothing you can do about it. And indeed, the Mishnah Berurah sounds a bit like he sort of ascribes to this type of understanding that you shouldn't speak after hamafil is like kufa related to this point that the hamafil goes on the sleep that you're about to sleep, and you can't make a hefzik between the bracha and the thing the bracha is made of. Like you can't make a bracha between water and drinking. You can't make a hefzik between hamafil and sleep. So in fact, the Mishnah Berurah says in toy rishkas, what happens if somebody wants to drink a lidaber eze inyan nachas? So he divides this into two stages. First, he talks about somebody who said Shema but hasn't yet said Hamafil. So if you've said Shema and you haven't yet said Hamafil, Lirish Shemukha, that's fine. Achiyatza v'yikra parashat Shema, but he says actually you should repeat over the paragraph of Shema. Ochei, im kavar oma birkas Hamafil, yizoy mozeh. If a person's already said Hamafil, then yizoy mozeh. One shouldn't drink and one shouldn't speak, even if it's something important. Ki yatsik bein habrocha v'hashenam. Because doing so would constitute a hefzik in between the bracha and the sleep. And it's actually to the extent that Mishnah Berurah in Sha'ar Tzion continues to ask, we mentioned before there's various minhagim, how the seder and shema should be done. So if you're really going to take this seriously and say, oh no, there can't be any hefzik in between the hamakal and the sleep, so how does some people have this minute to say hamakal at the beginning and follow it only afterwards with the shema and the psukim? So he says that first of all, in his opinion, it's recommended to say it at the end. But even if you won't go with that, he says that we can explain that those things are not considered a hefzik. Those psukim are not considered a hefzik, because they're all part of the same inyan. Anything that's like part of the same topic is all called like a tzorah sort of thing. It's not called a hefzik, but we must begin something else. That's not a hefzik. That seems like a little kiddish, but that's how he deals with it. Yeah. Oh, well, there you go. Actually, so since you brought that up, actually, while discussing this whole topic of which seder to do it and so forth, Mishnah Berurah actually said openly what you just brought up.
Yes, absolutely. What I'm saying, because it's very practical.
Yeah, it's very practical. Yeah.
When I said Shema in the first paragraph, before giving everybody, how did I understand this part?
Now that part is really like an additional part of Shema, so that generally should be said before everything. That's not like part of the actual Shema service.
What you try to say before Shema,
Aaron? So my brother says that his brother of Hamapil, he starts with the brother of Hamapil, then he says Shema, and then normally meant to follow it by the Pesukim. But by the time you've got like halfway through,
change it.
Yeah, my brother's really had such a full and busy day that he's...
What busy day? This is our busy day.
So actually, Mishnah Berurah, when he discusses this, he actually makes this difference. And he says, you know what? It depends on the nature of a person. And he says that somebody who feels confident they'll stay awake for the entire service, more ideal to say Hamapel at the end. But somebody who feels that might not happen, then Hamapel should be at the beginning, because Hamapel is an absolute obligation to be said. And one should pretend not to miss it.
This is what Rabbi Kotler said about bracha in the morning by washing hands.
Yeah.
But ideally, you need to say it in shul.
Right.
But don't do it, please.
Okay.
Because you will not.
We'll get forgotten, so.
There's no doubt who you
are.
In this sense,
okay.
It's a way you die.
Right. Yeah, so there you go.
You're lucky if you finish Shema.
Like if you got till there, yeah, you've got that bracha and the Shema. But if you can get at least that, then you definitely start with those two. Yes.
Where do you need to stay? Sitting in the room where already bored.
Best place.
Say in dining room and then go to sleep.
Best place it should be as close as possible to sleep. So that's really first get ready for bed.
So right now,
at the very least, even if you want to get those, you don't do that, so at the very least, the Hamapel, the actual brother, should leave for close to sleep.
Right now, so it's another thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Train all my life to read something.
If you're one of the people who...
I have no chance. Are you reading something before you go to sleep, Abraham?
No.
It's a funny thing, because... Very sensible. My family are very into reading books before you go to bed. They all do it. My father, my mother, my sisters, everybody. When I got married, like my wife was like... They never do such a thing. Like, they're not big readers, my wife's family altogether. I'm like, well, why would you want to do such a thing? Like, you're going to bed. Just go to sleep. Like, it's like very, very strange in her eyes.
Me and Emma could not go to sleep without reading.
Right.
I'll tell you something. It's a funny story, but it's actually true. Bang Western.
Yeah.
So, he says that his cleaning lady, Goya,
yeah.
Said to him, he feels comfortable buying these books. What?
Yeah.
So, you can't read these books. No, I need to understand it. What for? He said, my husband's in Estonia.
Yeah, and he knew what's coming. Yeah, yeah.
To pick up the
book. Fast asleep.
It is.
The true story.
He's always. Yes,
it is.
It's
one time.
Yeah.
2 seconds. Somebody asked the coach why he's not writing books.
Yeah.
He said because he's not writing a book we're supposed to finish on the floor. So he said, I know what's there, but about the car. Because it's hot, so the hot take it. And then he's sitting in an animal floor and not writing books.
Actually, I wouldn't have thought that Costco's book might have kept you awake, actually, but. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so. Yeah, ideally, first we should make sure that he's at least playing the Hamapel level. If it's a problem, that should be said first. But let's just come back to this topic of the... Yeah, so that should be said before everything. This is often asked before. That should be before everything. Because it's not really, technically, it's not part of the sort of Kriyas Shema service. Something should be done. You should do it before.
Purposely,
they didn't
do it part of the Shema because
it doesn't
mean it anyhow.
Yes. Yeah, it's not actually an obligatory thing. It's a thing to do, it's a good thing to do. If you don't mean it, then you know, you should try. So Mr. Brewer seems to be following this approach that it's rubbish a hefstick, it's actually a hefstick to sort of talk or break or anything in between Hamapel and going to sleep. Now there is an interesting difficulty with this way of looking at things. There's a very famous Tosfos in Brachos who asked this kasha. You know, when we sit in the sukkah, we make a bracha, yeah, leishit masuk. We said we make a bracha leishit masuk. So Tosfos asked that another one of the primary activities that's meant to be done in the sukkah is sleeping. So why didn't Chazal institute a bracha on sleeping in the sukkah? Because without bread, there you come to the sukkah to go to sleep. You should say leishit masuk, leishit masuk, should make a bracha. Asked Tosfos, why didn't they institute any such bracha? In one of his approaches, Tosfos answers the opposite concern of what we've just been discussing. We've been discussing the people who are falling asleep when they don't want to fall asleep. But Tosfos says there's an opposite concern that sometimes happens the other way around. Sleep at the end of the day is something that's not for your spot, it's not in your control. And sometimes the person tries to go to sleep and they don't sleep. So says Tosfos, Chazal didn't want to institute a bracha on sleeping in the sukkah.
You could not sleep.
Because who knows what might happen? You might get a different type of day, and you can't fall asleep. You go to the sukkah, you make this bracha, rarely make a bracha, and then it turns out to be a bracha on the bracha. So the point is that's why Chazal didn't institute any bracha on going to sleep in the sukkah. Yeah. Right. No. What we're saying is, we're going to bring comparison from this topic in a second. But at the moment, we're talking about the bracha of Leishit Basukah. Tosfos asks, why is it that Chazal didn't institute a bracha of Leishit Basukah when a person goes to sleep in the sukkah? The bracha of Leishit Basukah, that's the truth, then he eats or something, makes a bracha. But if he just comes in to go to sleep, doesn't make any bracha. Ask Tosfos why. Why didn't Chazal institute any bracha? So Tosfos answers, because there's a concern that the person might not fall asleep. Okay. So having said that we take this concern into account, let's turn around back to Hamakal. If we're going to say that Hamakal is like, literally like a type of shahakal on a type of water type of thing, so Hamakal oversleep, then we can have the same question. How is it that Chazal instituted Hamakal? If they were concerned about it in the bracha of Sukkah, why weren't they concerned about it in the bracha of Hamakal? How can I tell every person every night to make habakul? Oh, maybe you won't fall asleep. So this brings us to the conclusion that in fact habakul may be a different type of bracha. And Eli Rabbah, one of the great poets, asked this question, and he says, you know what the answer is? That habakul is not really, it's not that type of bracha. It's not really a bracha on something. It's not like a bracha on a cup of water. It's what we call a bracha on the teva ha'oil, on the minah ha'oil, like a general shvat that Chazal instituted to make when a person is preparing himself to go to sleep, when he intends to go to sleep. So he should be Mishabayat and Negat the Shmorgul for that.
And in this case, you can say it rather than Daniel.
Right, so in that case, right, changes our way of looking at a lot of things. First of all, obviously, it answers why he won't concern, he might not fall asleep. It also removes the Hashash of Hesek. Because there can't be any Hesek. And in fact, if we look at the Shulchan Aruch, now the Shulchan Aruch does recall this point that you should not eat, drink, or speak after Kriyas Shema LaMitzvah. But he says, Elo Yishev Miyad, you should speak right away, Shenema, because it says in the Pasuk, Ibru Levavchem Al Mishpachem, sort of hint, you should say that which you say on your bed, V'doy Mutzah, and then be silent. Now, if it were to be a true concern of a Hesed, why does Shulchan Aruch need to come on to sort of hint from a Pasuk into Hillel that this is like sort of, more like telling you that this is correct behavior, just comes into Hesed. So from that, the Aruch HaShulchan is Medayin, that in fact, it's not Mamash HaShashim HaHesed. It's not like Mr. Brewer decided that it's literally a Hesed. It's not Mamash HaHesed. This is correct general practice that Achila to do it as close as possible to sleep and to be silent in between. But indeed, many places do say that if there's some urgent soira, and there could be many practical things. A person needs to go to the bathroom, a person needs to go and drink a cup of water, or sometimes something important comes up and you have to speak. There are many places are massive.
There's not such
thing
as
chesed
in this.
Yes. Many places are massive and they say that a person needs to drink a shaka, if you go to the bathroom, you should tell the officer, and if necessary, can also speak. So not like the Pashtus implication of Mishra Berurah. I think that's more the minute of oil, that's the truth. Okay, we'll stop it.